It's Friday, which means it's time for Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra. He's the host of The Fork Report, and that's heard tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m., and he is at Fork Reporter. And good morning, Neil.
William Wolf, Handel Esquire. How are you, sir?
I am good. Okay, I'm looking at the list of the stuff we're going to talk about, and one of them just hit me right in the gut, and that has to do with QR codes on menus in restaurants. There are so many restaurants now that will not hand you a menu, and it's a QR code that is on the table somewhere, and up comes the menu. I mean, it's easy to do. Up comes the menu, though, and what really bothers me is I'm looking at it on my phone, and this is a screen that's 1 by 2 inches, basically. It's a tiny little screen. And there's a lot of stuff on the menu, and I can barely read it under almost any circumstance. What's going on with that?
Well, you're not alone. That's for darn sure. The reality is that the pandemic spun everything, right? So people were trying to figure out, companies, especially when you're dealing with hospitality, with people coming in and going out, we're trying to figure out ways to make people feel safe. It has been known for a long time, especially those diner menus that are shoved inside the plastic sleeve, that the menus and the chairs are the two things that don't get cleaned very often. Everything else, the table gets cleaned, obviously, the things you're eating off of get cleaned. But those were the two things, and those were the things that icked people out, primarily the menu. So what ended up happening is the QR code menu. I remember talking to people prior to the pandemic that were pushing this, the technology, and thinking it was going to be the next thing. It's not going away, but I think many restaurants are shifting away from it because people just don't like it for reasons you said. Also, there's something about the intimacy of sitting down and connecting with somebody, and you're both pulling out your phones with this blue light that kind of changes the mood of the experience. Like you said, you've got to expand to see the menu. And another thing, a strange kind of unintended consequence, is people aren't ordering the dessert or extra glass of wine or things because they don't want to go back and open it up again. So there's a lot going on for the personal experience of people going in and also the experience of the dining establishment themselves. So it's going to be going away in a lot of arenas, and then it will stay maybe for paying, to be able to not have to wait for someone to bring you the check. You could pay there. Things that have shown to be convenience, yeah, rather than the awkwardness of trying to find what you want on a tiny little menu.
Yeah, there's a whole world there between QR menus and paper or plastic menus. One is the cleaning. You're absolutely right. I mean, people's fingerprints are on it. Their cooties are all over it. And the cleaning part is difficult because I've never actually seen anybody clean a menu unless they have paper menus that they give you that are fresh. And when it comes to holding a menu, I think a lot of it is because we grew up holding menus. The QR code is so new that it's not something that we do automatically. You want a menu, you want to hold it. It's much like reading a book. For those of us that grew up reading books, we like reading books. I like the paper. I like to turn the pages. It feels good as opposed to reading on a screen. That just seems it seems foreign to me. Now, the people that are growing up with the QR codes, they don't know anything else.
Yeah, but it hasn't shifted, Bill. That's the thing that's interesting. It's both sides. It's people who grew up with a paper menu, want them back, but a lot of younger folks that are used to QR codes aren't crazy about them. Plus, if you remember, and I think this happened probably within the last year and a half, there were some scammers that were making different QR code stickers and putting them over the QR codes in restaurants and other establishments that use them that would go to their website or a fake website, and it became a mess. The reality is there's something romantic or authentic or that something that ties to the experience with a menu. How many times have you and I been out, not normally at a lunch, but at a dinner or something, and they ask for the menu? You say, no, we want to keep one. We'll look at desserts or something like that. And there's something about that connection and having that, and you peruse it and go, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll get a couple of these for dessert and everybody will split them. That's just not happening with a QR code. So you may be seeing a lot of them going away. I think the restaurants and hospitality areas like bars and things are going to go back to giving you something to hold. It's also one of your first impressions of the restaurant. So you end up, it maybe if it's kind of stylized or designed in a neat way or used in you know, a different textile or something, it's like, hey, our menu's on clothing or something, whatever it is that makes it part of the experience. They want to bring that back, and I think we're going to be seeing more of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be much easier if it can be proved that a menu brings in X percent more money than the QR code. Then the decision gets really easy for
the restaurants. And I think they're seeing that. I think they're seeing that with extras. They're seeing that with desserts. They're seeing that with a second glass of wine or even a cocktail afterwards, and they're seeing those numbers dip.
This was fun. You intrigued me with this one. And I'm going to just read it exactly as the way it is written as we go through the topics. And it was, quote, it was the number one customer complaint, so Kraft fixed the wrapper. Oh, let's do that.
Okay, so back in July of 1969, we put a man on the moon, a couple of them actually, and we couldn't get the wrapper right, apparently, on the Kraft singles. So the biggest complaint is, it's too hard to open. Now, on occasion, I guess Kraft singles can be a pain to open, but I always found like the lesser made ones or like off brands, you couldn't find the seam. You didn't know where, you know, you're scratching with your nails trying to find. I always found Kraft singles to be better, but apparently I'm in the minority. So here comes complaints galore. And now Kraft singles announced that they have the new era for its look and its packaging. Its logo was changed a little bit. The singles logo is a little fluffier, a little rounder. They still got the quintessential image of the crisscross or cut diagonally grilled cheese right in front of you. And all that looks great and bright, but the biggest thing they were pushing was the fact that now they're easier to open the individual wrapping. So they have used a thicker, sturdier wrapping, and then they've kind of put a texture at the lip of it so that you can, you know, get your thumb under there and unwrap it. So I don't know how long Kraft singles have been out, but they've been out the entirety of my lifetime. And now they get around to, I guess, creating the better wrapper for them. So I don't know. Seems to be the big deal.
Yeah, well, I can see that for a couple of reasons. The first question I have is, did anybody at Kraft ever try to open up a Kraft single? That's for starters. And well, you think you would have changed that right at the beginning?
Maybe they feel it's good enough that a little bit of, you know, having to jump through hoops is no big deal. And then there's probably, you know this about humans, there's probably a number of people that didn't even know they had a wrapper and just put it in the sandwich.
Yeah, and that's the other point I want to make. And that is, particularly in the off-brands or Velveeta or American cheese, not cheddar cheese, but American cheese, which is the big thing with Kraft. It is so difficult to unravel that, that at times I'm convinced that the cheese and the plastic wrapper have become molecularly bonded. Well, and it is, it's just physically impossible. It is chemically, physically impossible to separate those two. And I ended up just throwing that particular slice in the trash because, you know, I just couldn't unwrap it, particularly with those off brands. Because relative to Kraft, Kraft uses a certain percentage of petroleum byproducts to manufacture the cheese, but other off brands use a bigger percentage.
Once they get to the point of describing it as cheese-like stuff, you know, but you know, there is there have been times where I've gone to open it and that top fifth or whatever gets pulled apart. But I, as a kid, I had those. But as we've grown older, they have, I guess it's the deluxe or the deli style or something, comes without the wrapper. And I've gotten used to that because I get creeped out by the slick texture of the ones in the wrapping. So I don't even buy the wrapped ones anymore. We have it around the house. It's going to be the Kraft Deluxe or what have you. It really means fattier, but it also isn't wrapped. And I prefer that because the slickness makes it even more plasticky. So I'm like, we'll move on. So I feel like I've moved up to a little more mature fake cheese with that. But there are still those, the kids that are having that slapped on a sandwich or put in as a snack for their lunch and are eating it and trying to open it. Now, thank God, Bill, someone has risen to the occasion and made it easier to unwrap.
Okay, I'm going to make another complaint. Yes, sir. You can tell that I'm really exercised about this. And that is, for some reason, whenever you unwrap a Kraft cheese or American cheese or a fake American cheese from another company, it's paper thin. You know, you need two or three. Why wouldn't they make it a little thicker? I buy my cheddar cheese sliced, and I get it from a Costco, and they use a Tillamook or whatever. Nice, thick slices, and there's paper between it as opposed to plastic. And, you know, I mean, isn't that the way you're supposed to eat sliced cheese?
Well, yeah, it is nicer to have the parchment in between it than this, but it's not toilet paper, man. I mean, you're talking about how many ply it is or something like that. It's cheese. You want it bad enough, you'll get in there. Bears can get into bear-proof garbage cans. I think humans can get into, with our opposable thumbs, get into it. But it has been their concern. I have a question for you, sir, about something that has come up because of the legality of marijuana in some states. That this goes back many, many years, but illegally, the combination of weed and wine. So they would infuse wine with weed. And there are still some bottlers and some those in the wine industry who will make it and can make it for themselves. But legally, because of federal laws and stuff, but legally, you cannot have something with two different substances or mind altering, or I don't know what you'd call them, but two substances like wine and marijuana. Why would that be?
Clearly, there is some statute out there, some law that has been created by Congress, probably. And for example, the marijuana laws are still there. It is a federal crime to have marijuana. Now, of course, it is not enforced under any circumstances. You get popped, and a policeman comes over there, and there's your joint. Of course, in California, it's perfectly legal. But the feds could theoretically arrest you for illegal possession of a controlled substance.
Okay, but wait. It's legal here in California.
Yeah.
They put it in edibles, gummies, brownies, mm-hmm. cookies, all those things, legal. They even have restaurants that are popping up that have marijuana-infused food. All that's legal. But what isn't legal is combining it with alcohol.
And that is by federal statute, specifically.
Because they control the wine and the booze, but right?
It doesn't even matter. It's by federal statute. For example, federal statute says, let's go back to Kraft cheese. You can only use 12% petroleum byproducts in manufacturing a slice of cheese. And that's federal law. Well, that controls, even if it's only done in Los Angeles or the LA area and sold to a Los Angeles restaurant or to a store, because you have federal law which supersedes any state law. And somebody, someplace, and it was probably 100 years ago or 150 years ago, some congressperson put that in there and it was passed and it's never been undone. And so I'm sure that weed wine is going to continue and there isn't a problem. All right, Foodie Friday, we are done, Neil. It's going to be fun this weekend.
Indeed.
That's tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m., and he's at Fork Reporter. Take care.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Neil Saavedra. Love his show, too.